Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Last night we had discussed physical abuse of women in the Quran, and tonight I'd like to look at emotional abuse of women within the Holy Quran. Unfortunately, this part is not really touched upon or examined as much as the physical element. You'll find that there are many who'll discuss the physical abuse that takes place against women, against one's wife, for example. But there are some men in the world today who have never laid a finger on their wife, but they've laid a barrage of insults against their wife. And sometimes if you were to ask some woman in the Muslim world and in the non-Muslim world, because at the end of the day, these discussions are discussions for the whole of humanity. When we're looking in the Quran, we're not looking just to address the issues that are affecting the Muslim community. There are many non-Muslims living in the UK who live in households where they face a cycle of abuse. They face a cycle of not just physical abuse, but a cycle of emotional abuse. In our communities, if we were to see a bruise on a lady's face, for example, that would straight away evoke a reaction. Do you agree? But nobody sees the bruise on the heart of that lady. They only notice the bruise which is on the exterior. There are a number of insults that end up bruising the heart of a human being. And if you were to ask any lady in the world today, she'll say to you that sometimes I wish that people could hear our voices in relation to the insults, in relation to the abuse that we face in our houses. If my sister, for example, is living in a house where I don't see any signs of abuse on her body, then I think she's living in the best marriage ever. It's only when my sister, or for example, one of your sisters opens up and tells you that you may not have seen a physical mark, but if I were to tell you how many marks he's left on me because of his behavior, then you will understand why at times I feel down. You know, sometimes you see your mother feeling down, but you don't know the reason. Sometimes you see your aunt feeling down, but you don't know what the reason is. Sometimes you see your sisters feeling down and you don't know what the reason is. And it's only later on that you find out it's because there has been a certain jibe that's been left. Someone has stabbed. Someone has hit a jab which is not physical, but rather emotional. And sometimes the females in our communities do not know who to turn to. And so what you find is that the Quran had to speak about this. Because we know very well that it's still an element in Arab society today. It was definitely going to be an element in Arab society in the 7th century. Until today, there are many Arab men who cannot understand why we need to discuss topics concerning the emotion of their wife. That girl's been with me since a young age. There's no way she can return back to her house. Even if she tries to return back to her house, if I insult her, her dad, the first thing he'll do will send her back to me. I can get away with murder because in our society, divorce is a taboo. And so if I want to insult her, I'll insult her. She's just given birth. I can call her fat. I could call her ugly. If, for example, I want to compare her to someone on the television, I'll say, you'll never look like her. If I want to insult her, my insulting can come in different ways. And so what's interesting about emotional abuse of women in the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala felt, whether it's 7th century Arabia or 21st century London, you'll still find cases of ladies who are spoken to in the worst of ways. Why? This topic is important because it goes to highlight marriage isn't all about your physical desires. Many times when people discuss marriage, they talk of the physical elements. There must be an attraction there. We agree. Your physical desires have to be fulfilled. We agree. The right of the husband is that their physical desires are fulfilled. We agree. But if there's no akhlaq in that marriage, what's the point of having the physical desires fulfilled? At the end of the day, that marriage Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala envisaged within Islamic thought would be a marriage where you are partners with one another, where there is love and there's mercy between each other. Mawadda, reciprocal love, had to be accompanied by rahmah. Because I may have a certain amount of love when it comes to everything physical at home. As soon as my physical desires are fulfilled, I'm back to somebody who's stubborn, arrogant, rude, abrasive, short-tempered. And that's why you'll find that there are certain signs which reveal that there is emotional abuse taking place in a marriage. I might find someone out there who say, you know what, I'll never touch a lady. I'll never hit a lady. I'm not a coward. But then you'll see that person having certain traits. One trait, intimidating. When you look at your sister next to him, you're like, my God, man, my sister is scared of him. But I can't say anything. But the way she looks at him, it's as if, you know, you're meant to look at your husband in a way where you're smiling every time you look at him. But if you're looking at your husband and it's as if you could see your sister shivering when she's talking, intimidation, emotional abuse. What else is emotional abuse? Teasing. Whenever you're around their house, they're teasing 24/7. Now, teasing could be a form of banter because they can tease as well. But what happens if you feel the teasing gets to a level where you're like, hold on, hold on. Now you've crossed the line. Teasing. Number three, threat. Go try and get a divorce. Go try. Which Mawlana is going to give you? Have you heard that line before? Go try and get a divorce. Number one, most of the Mawlanas are male. And most of the Mawlanas are family friends of ours. You see, sometimes there are families who may be of status or families who are wealthy. That Mawlana is not going to give a judgment against them. Because that Mawlana is already in the back pocket in some cases. That Mawlana is already close friends with them. So there's this threatening attitude as well that I've seen in some cases. What's the threatening attitude? You dare to open your mouth again, you'll see what will happen to you. That you dare sometimes is more frightening than the result. Threat, another form of intimidation, teasing, threat. You have constant criticism. Every time the girl tries to cook a meal, for example, every time I'll say, this is not good. It's not as good as my friend's wife. It's not as good as so-and-so's. Criticism always. Why is the house like this? I've come back. Why is it like this? Criticism. Whenever I come home, why are you not, for example, ready to come and sit with me? Why are you always busy? Always signs of criticism as well. Undermining. When the wife gives an opinion, no. But if her friend gives an opinion, wow, that's very interesting. There are some people who are like that. With their friends and friends of their friends, they're the most jovial person in the world. When they're at home with their wife, you'd think that someone had put a sellotape on their mouth. But with their friends, they're always jumping and loud and making jokes. But with their wife, you'll see what? You'll see that this person is very awkward, always criticizing. Another form of abuse, being made to feel guilty. You always make her feel guilty. That you know what? The whole reason this happened is you. You know it's blatantly you, the reason it's happened. But you make the person feel guilty. And some call these things gaslighting. Gaslighting is when you make a person think that all the fault is with who? With them. The person's like, hold on a minute, I've not done anything wrong over here. But for some reason, I'm at the receiving end. One lady went through all of these. And the Quran didn't just talk about it. The Quran named a chapter after her. Imagine one lady was a lady who went through all of these things. Went through threats, went through intimidation, went through teasing, went through being made to feel guilty, went through being undermined. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, a whole surah will be revealed in her honor. Because from her time until today, there remain millions upon millions of ladies who are the victims of threats, criticism, undermining tactics, teasing, being made to feel guilty, emotional abuse. What do our communities tell us? Our communities tell us that, you know what, tell her to remain patient, remain patient. Okay, but what is this person? This person has feelings. So when you're saying remain patient, no problem. But surely there has to be an aspect where the way this person, who's her husband, is making her feel, is destroying her. It's not destroying her body. Sometimes when the soul's being destroyed, you could still have the most perfect body. But when your soul is being destroyed, it's eating within. There are many who will use this phrase. Notice even in the ayah that we spoke of yesterday, if we go back to Surah 4, verse 34, very briefly, if you look at the ayah we looked at yesterday, the famous hitting the wives verse, at the end of it, say your wife, you feared a disobedience from her. We discussed it yesterday. And you said that your wife, you were seeing a continuing disobedience. But if you and your wife get back together, should you still make her feel guilty about that thing which you felt she was disobeying? Because one form of emotional abuse is to always say, do you remember 6 months ago what you said? Do you remember last year what you said to my dad? Do you remember the way that you spoke to my aunt? You always go back to history. And one of the things that kills relationships is always going back to what happened in the past instead of appreciating the present. You know, this cartoon, Kung Fu Panda. This cartoon, or it's a film. Kung Fu Panda. Yes, you know, Kung Fu Panda. It's Kung Fu Panda, if you look at it, it's got some lines which are very interesting. And I know that someone's probably going to be thinking, hold on a minute, are you bringing Kung Fu Panda and alongside the likes of the great scholars of tafsir? Kung Fu Panda, he said once, or he was advised, I think, by the older looking guy who's his like master. What's his name? Every time I mention a verse of the Quran, you can't even complete it. I ask you about Kung Fu Panda's master, you're able to complete it. Wallah, this is the state of our ummah, wallah, said Muhsin Shah, great grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi. This guy says to him, do you know why the present is called a present? Why is the present called present? Because it's a gift. The present, this present time that you are in, it's a gift that you two are in a good relationship. You keep looking in the past. You said that, you did this. The Quran at the end of verse 34, the one we discussed yesterday, it said, فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ. Now that they've come back into obeying you, فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. Don't keep on now that they've come back towards you. Stop being someone who makes them feel guilty about what's happened in the past. Stop being someone who blocks the paths. So what we find therefore is that there are some people, even when you reconcile them, the husband, instead of saying let bygones be bygones, what does the husband do? He keeps on picking on what's happening in the past because he knows that emotionally this form of abuse can finish this person, even if you've forgiven. I've seen some people, their wife was disobedient on a certain issue to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in turn to the husband. She admitted she made a mistake. I beg you, forgive me. No, I'm gonna blackmail you on this basis. You made that one mistake. Baba, I'm not masoom. I'm not a masooma. Yes, I made a mistake. No, I will blackmail you because you made this mistake. You have to make up for this mistake now. I've seen this in relationships. And I was saying earlier with someone that some of the things I'm saying has come out of a lot of discussions during COVID with couples and seeing some of the points they poke at, either looking back at the past or blackmail. Because you've done that wrong, you've got to make up to me. Okay, which way do you want me to make it up to you? A person shouldn't be saying, you got to make it up to me, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is always forgiving. So who are you not to forgive? But this lady in particular became a voice for the ladies who are emotionally abused in marriages. Her name was Khawla, and she was married to a man by the name of Aus bin Samit. And this lady, Khawla, had married Aus, who seemingly, according to the traditions, is a bit older than her. You know, you could be someone who's 23, you could either marry a 25-year-old or you could marry a 42-year-old. None of them are haram. But you'll see in some marriages in our communities, there's a big age gap between husband. Why is there some cases there's a smaller age gap? She had married someone who's a bit older than her. They got kids. And she reaches an age where seemingly he wants more kids. She's not necessarily ready to have more kids. It's a discussion which you have between husband and wife. This person, when he comes home that day, he wants his desires fulfilled. And she herself at that moment says, I'm not ready. He turns around at that moment and says something to her that doesn't just get placed in the Quran, but gets placed in every book of Islamic law until today. He says something to her where you need to pay a kafara if you say it to your missus. He says something to her where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to highlight the tongue, jurmuhu saghir, jurmuhu thaqil. The weight of the tongue, so light. The power, devastating. He says something to her that in the same way I break my fast with an intention, purposely breaking my fast when I'm not allowed to, The same thing, there is a kafara for this thing that he says. The chapter I want everyone to look at home, please. Chapter 58 of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Mujadala. Al-Mujadala is about this lady who, at the moment when she notices the man, turns around to her. You know what that man says to her? He says to her that you are to me like the back of my mother. In Arabic, what's the word we use for back? Dahar. If you're not going to look after my desires when I want them looked after, and you're not going to go with my way of life, then you know what you are to me? You're to me like the back of my mum. Back of my mum means what? It's an insult. In the same way my mum is someone I will never approach, you're like that to me now. We call it dhihar. Dhihar is when a husband tells his wife, you are to me like the back of my mother. Would a man have any relation with his mom? The man would not have any physical relations with his mom. You are to me like the back of my mom. Now this, number one, is an insult. You're saying that I, your wife, have become in a position like your mom. The same way you would never think of something like this because it's disgusting, because it's your mom, because it's haram, because it's your mom. Now you look at me like this. Number two, hold on a minute. Am I divorced or am I not divorced? Because my dear brothers and sisters at home, in the forthcoming nights, I've got some important discussions about divorce in the Quran. And about how some things we have in our divorce laws today are cultural and some are actually Islamic. But what you see is that this lady is now in this no man's land. And there are many men who've put ladies in a no man's land. That, listen, do you want me or you don't want me? I'm not understanding. Because you don't seem to be interested in me. But this man went a step further. He said, you are to me like the back of my mother. There are many tears that ladies cry because of emotional abuse. But there aren't many hands that pick up those tears. One of the worst feelings for any human being is watching their mom cry. It's devastating when you see that your dad has neglected your mom, or your dad has insulted your mom, or your dad has hit your mom. It's something extremely devastating. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided, if nobody is going to hear her, then I will. There are prophets of God who don't have a surah named after them. Is there Surah Musa in the Quran? No. Is there Surah Isa? No. But there is a Mujadala. There's a chapter named after a lady pleading, wants to talk to somebody. Who did she go and talk to? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard the pleading or the statement of the lady who pleads with you about her husband. Who did she go to? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Look how comfortable, by the way, it is for ladies to know that they could go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Sometimes you'll find many traditions about how ladies would go and ask the Prophet. They would be comfortable in talking to the Prophet. How the Prophet sometimes would come and say salamun alaykum to certain people, be they male, be they female. So the ladies recognize that their recourse is the scholars of the community. The scholar is the one who's meant to help establish justice. And so that lady goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and she talks to Rasulullah in a courteous way. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. She comes to the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, us ladies, I'm not understanding something. These men are getting away with something absurd. He marries me. I look after his house. He's married to me. I've given him beautiful children. Because I have not fulfilled what he wants coming home, he just walked out and said to me, you are to me like the back of my mom. Am I married or am I not married? Because remember, the Arabs used to have this tendency where talaq was normal for them. You know, the whole idea of three divorce in Islam, that was bringing it down. These guys used to divorce for fun. You know what, today I don't feel you. I'm moving on. Now that lady's thinking, hold on a minute. What's my situation here? Where's my rights? If I've made a commitment to you, how comes all of a sudden I'm in this position? And she's gone to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Why? Number one, she knows he practices what he preaches because there's no one like him with his wives. Oh, Rasulullah's wives, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Some of them were angels on this earth. You can't call them human angels. Yani Khadijah al-Kubra is an angel. Never once gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi a headache in his life. But then there were others in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi who gave him nightmares. But this is not unusual. Nabi Nuh's wife, Nabi Lot's wife, they gave them nightmares. But never did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi threaten or insult or undermine. Do we agree? So when these ladies would go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, they knew that this is the man who you go to. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi knew that the pronouncement of dhihar, you are to me like the back of my mum, was something that was present there in the days of Jahiliyyah. It was normal in their lives in Jahiliyyah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi cannot just turn around to you and say to you, okay, this is the new law. He awaits revelations from his Lord. We agree? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi knew that these people had to have a law instilled, otherwise they're not going to change. What is the aim of laws prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sometimes prevention, a form of a deterrent. Otherwise, who's going to stop? If these laws are not there, and I agree with you that sometimes the hudud, because the word hudud is mentioned in this particular story in a few verses, I agree with you, sometimes hudud in Islamic law, Sharia law, they look barbaric, don't they? When you hear, for example, stone and cut and so on and so forth. In some cases, with these Arabs living at that time, coming out of Jahiliyyah, you ain't gonna stop me, bro. I don't care if I become a Muslim. This man's a Muslim, by the way. We're not talking some mushrik. This man's a Muslim. But there are many Muslims who could easily be the most abusive. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. It's not a normal complaint. It's not just a shakwa. Iqbal has his famous shakwa to his Lord, his complaint to his Lord. Many in the South Asian, in the Indo-Pak subcontinent, will always discuss Iqbal and his complaint to his Lord. And there was an uproar when Iqbal complained to his Lord in his famous lines. So there was a jawab of the shakwa. In Urdu, people know Iqbal and admire Iqbal because they remember the shakwa of Iqbal. Here is a more powerful in the Mubalagh. Here, what do we see? We see Tashtaki. There's a strong complaint. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. Allah hears the statement of the one who pleads with you. No. Pleads and complains, pleads to you about her husband, and complains to Allah. Tashtaki ila Allah. How many times when someone's abused, they'll say, I'm complaining to Allah. Allah will hear me. Isn't it? قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Not just the shakwa, tashtaki, a powerful pleading, a powerful complaining to the Lord. Why is this the case? We get married, we're in the house, we protect the house, we protect his honor, we give him children, and then he just comes home and says, you know what, you're to me like the back of my mom. That's how we live our lives as Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي. Because the Prophet was waiting. And one narration says that Aisha, one narration says that Aisha said to this lady, Khawla, she said, wait, just wait a bit. Why? Because Aisha could see a change in the complexion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Sometimes when the wahi would come, there would be a change in the complexion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. You may see, for example, as if, for example, he's seeing something like, you know, when a person's dreaming. So she said to her, wait, just wait a bit. And then the Prophet said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. And then what else? وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ تَحَاوُرَكُمَا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears the courteous discussion, Tahawar is a courteous discussion between two people. She's not come there insulting, swearing. This is a dignified lady. Wallahu yasma'u tahawurakuma. Inna Allaha sami'un basir. What do you notice about this ayah? Only in this ayah in the Holy Quran. There's no other ayah that has what is in this ayah. The only ayah in the Holy Quran where Allah says, I hear three times. How many times does Allah say, I hear? قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ Number one. وَاللَّهُ يَسْمَعُ Number two. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ Number three. The only ayah in the Holy Quran, the only verse in the Holy Quran where God says, I hear, I hear, I hear, is about women being abused by their husbands. Because Allah knew if there's one section of society, nobody will hear when they're being insulted or abused or maligned or treated immorally or in the worst of ways, is the ladies in our community. There are some ladies in the Indo-Pak subcontinent until today who are treated abysmally. They are not a wife, they are a slave. There are some ladies in the Middle East who are forced to marry men they've never met, maybe not twice their age, three times their age. Why? Because our Asha'ir tribal culture dictates that when a man comes from another tribe and that man's 50 and your daughter, for example, is 20, he has every right if he wants her. That girl, why does the tribe dictate? Because what was happening in the surah, the tribes were dictating that you can't utter a word. That man's your husband. It doesn't matter what he says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, how dare you? That's a creation of mine. You think that you could just walk away and you're able just to turn around to your boys when you've left the house and say to them that, you know what? I just said to her, you are to me like the back of my mother. No chance. Next verse, what does it say? الَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْكُمْ Those of you who abandon your wives through the statement of dhihar. الَّذِينَ what? يُظَاهِرُونَ We said Arabic, the word for back is dhahar. الَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ مَا هُنَّ أُمَّهَاتِهِمْ Those of you who have abandoned your wives with this insult, you are to me like the back of my mother. They are not your mothers. Just because you call someone, oh, you're like my mom, or you're my mom, doesn't mean they are your mom. It's like when you adopt a child and say, that's my son. But in reality, that's not your son. Just because you call the child your son, we know very well that if the child hasn't followed, or for example, the laws of fiqh haven't applied in terms of suckling with that child, then that's not your son. Yes, you could go to the community and everyone say, well, that child's my son. No problem. But in reality, you know that when it comes to the laws of inheritance, etc., etc., that is not your son. A funny one is when, you know, sometimes I've seen communities where you'll find people and be like, you know what, that's like my cousin. So what do you mean? So, because you see the person hugging her and you're like, why are you hugging her? Bro, she's like my cousin. So, but she's like, doesn't mean she is. So how are you hugging her? He goes, bro, we grow up with each other. So she's like my sister. But that's not your sister. Here likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was making a damning reply. الَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ مَا هُنَّ أُمَّهَاتِهِمْ إِنْ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَدْنَهُمْ Their mothers are only those who gave them birth. Don't you insult her by saying you're like my mom. Her mom is only the lady who gave her birth. In other words, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing is saying, what, you wanna take me on with my creation? You think that you're something special in Medina? By insulting this poor lady, the mother of your children, know that I've heard everything that's happening. If Medina's community hasn't heard, because you know our communities, the main thing for some people is as long as the community doesn't hear. That's the main thing for some people. Make sure the community doesn't hear. There are people. They'll come to the mosque, sitting there, sabha, the whole day, sabha, moving the sabha. As long as I look good in the mosque, how I treat my family, how did the Prophet turn that round? The best of you is the best to his family, and I am the best to my family. So here, what was happening? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was replying, الَّذِينَ يُظَاهِرُونَ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ مَا هُنَّ أُمَّهَاتِهِمْ. Those who abandon any of your wives through their heart, saying that what? You are to me like my mother's back. إِنْ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ إِلَّا اللَّائِي وَلَدْنَهُمْ. Their mothers are only those who gave birth to them. By the way, I'm going to discuss this line in my discussion in the forthcoming nights on biomedical ethics in the Quran. Plastic surgery, artificial insemination, IVF. Which verses in the Quran relate to the modern day technological issues on reproduction and biomedical ethics? This ayah, by the way, is fundamental in one of those discussions. Who's the mum? The one who you took the eggs from, or the one who gave birth? Hear the Quran. Anyway, I'll come to that in forthcoming nights. I'm sure all of you will be patient to wait until those times. In ummahatuhum illa la'i waladnahum wa innahum layaquluna munkaran min alqawli wazura. What these men in Medina are saying, first and foremost, has nothing at all in this sharia. Munkar, what is munkar? Munkar, nothing. Something which is not to be taken at all within the sharia. And what else is it? Min al-qawli wa zura. Zura is lies, blatant lies that are taking place. This is a lie. Not only is there nothing in the sharia, so therefore what comes first? Sharia of the ashair. That's a real tongue twister. Sharia of the ashair. Or Sharia of Allah. Is that exactly the case for Muslims today? No. I wonder if Jahiliyyah was only in the time of the Quran or today. How many do you see Ashair? If you go to parts, villages in Pakistan, villages in Iraq, Al Ashair law comes above the law of Sharia. That could be a great PhD, by the way. The Ashair versus the Sharia. Would love a lovely title even for a book. Ashair in the Quran, maybe I can refer to them as the A'rab. A'rab, mu Arab, not Arab, A'rab. Ashair, the tribes, Qabail Ashair, they have a particular law, the custom law of the tribes. And what's the custom law of the tribes, for example? One example, let's see. Our daughters don't go to college or uni. They have to get married from a young age. The Ashira decides that. Or the Ashira decides that if you've killed someone, then we have to take someone back. And there's these all these laws of fussel and so on. And bring from your group, bring from my group. I'm telling you, innocent people have had the worst lives because of these things. I'm not going to deny that some things in the Ashira tendencies are things of honor and generosity and respect and morality. But there's some things. What does the Quran here say? The Quran here says that these people who are using statements like this, yes, you and your tribe are used to telling women in the community, you are to me like the back of my mom, or you're this, or you're that. It could be translated into other things today, by the way. There are other things where tribes say certain things. The Quran tried to culture us. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. I remember in Surah Al-Hujurat, that famous ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّنْ نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنَّ. O you who believe, don't let one group of people make fun of another group, because that other group may be better than you. And don't let women make fun of other women, because those women you make fun of may be better. We wanted to leave that tendency. Here therefore, the Quran says, وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَقُولُونَ مُنْكَرًا مِّنَ الْقَوْلِ وَزُورًا. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَفُوٌ غَفُورٌ. However, if you did say that to your missus, Allah is afu, Allah is ghafoor. What's the difference between the two? Because if you're asking me blatantly if I didn't know tafsir, afwa and ghafwa, I'd be like, forgiving, forgiving. True? Afwa in Laylat al-Qadr, I might say, forgive me. And then when someone says, astaghfirullah or maghfirah, it also, you would assume it would refer to forgive. So sometimes if I was to look at this translation of this particular portion, I would think, inna Allah afwun ghafur, Allah is forgiving, forgiving. Afu, let's keep at forgiving. Ghafur, some translate here, I've seen a translation in front of me here says, God is pardoning and oft forgiving. Afu, forgive. Ghafur, and I'll conceal your fault as well. You know, we say, Ya Sattar al-Ayub. You've done this. But don't worry, we won't reveal it to everybody on the day of judgment. Someone might say, but Sayyidina, half the people in the world now know about him in the Quran. But there's a time where I want my Lord to look back at what I've done in my life and to not make me feel guilty over it and to conceal it as well. And maybe on the day of judgment is the best day to conceal it because that's the day I really want to win. And here Allah is making it clear that those of you who have been bad to your wives, tonight, for example, give your wife a hug, my dear brothers, sisters, wherever you may be. Give her a hug, send her a message of I love you. And at the same time, say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu alayhi. Because Allah's promised you, wa inna Allah la afuun ghafoor. Because you know what happened? This us, all of a sudden, he's like, oh my God, what have I done? I regret it. You know what? He's told the missus, you know what? I'm sorry. And in some cases, they say, she told him, go to the Prophet. He's like, you know, I can't go to the Prophet. And you know, the Prophet of Allah has come as a mercy to mankind. And here I am being so unmerciful. And seemingly, you've got God's ear. Because she says one thing, Allah replies with an email called the Surah. So you know what? You might as well go because God seems to reply to anything you want. How can I be forgiven for what I've done? والذين يظاهرون من نسائهم ثم يعودون لما قالوا يعودون لما قالوا. What does it mean? It means that he thought, you know what? I made a mistake. I regret it. You know what? راجعت نفسي. And I looked at the حسابات. I looked at the accounts. I reflected on myself. And I thought to myself, that's someone's daughter. When you think of your missus, that is someone's daughter. I thought to myself, you know what? How many good things has she done? How many nights she's looked after me? The way she's looked after those kids. You know what? راجعت نفسي. يعودون لما قالوا. And maybe that awda is something we all need in life. Where you need to sit back and think, you know what? I've given this girl a hard time. How good has she been with me? Unfortunately, we're human. We're not ma'soom. And sometimes our egos overtake us. Sometimes the world and the pressures of the world overtake us. But in this ayah, what's wonderful is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that this person has now reflected upon themselves. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this moment, what's he said? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that قالوا ثم يعودون لما قالوا فتحرير رقبة من قبل أن يتماسا. Okay, you know what? I want to go back to my missus. I miss my missus. I want to go back. I said to her, she's like, to me like the back of my mom. I was wrong. أستغفر الله. These Arabs, some of the imagery they'd have is also quite disgusting. But anyway, she's to me like the back of my mom. No, she's not. You know what? I'm sorry. It'll never happen again. What do I have to do? Kafar. In the rulings of fiqh, sometimes you see 8, 9 acts which may result in kafara. One of them is the calling of dhihar. You have to pay a kafara. The Quran began to highlight that unless there are laws for these things, there are many men who will get away with this. Because it seemed that it was prevalent for men just to say to her, you know what, forget about you, I'm going out. Okay, where you go? Am I married to you? Am I not married to you? Tell me what's happening. So the Quran said, okay, no problem. راجعت نفسك, you reflected, ثم يعودون لما قالوا فتحرير رقبة من قبل أن يتماسا. And you know, some of these Arabs, they're only saying sorry because he wants to go back to his missus, you know. You know, I don't need to elaborate further. There are some people, wallah, men are lutia sometimes. The only reason they want to go back to their missus, I'm telling you, they'd be like, you know what, wallah, I'm so sorry, this, that, that. He is not thinking heart, sadly. He's thinking, why about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, men are created from one planet, women are from another planet, but these things have some sort of reality. This Arab guy, palm trees everywhere, har everywhere, he's absolutely lost it. He knows he wants to go back to that lady. So what does he do? He's like told, okay, before you touch her, min qabli an yatamasa, which means touch each other, mass, la yamassahu illa al-mut, you know, touch. You've got to free a slave. This guy's like, ya Rasulullah, listen. Now this, I have to mention this opinion, by the way. One opinion is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi said Allah has forgiven you, and then these laws came for whoever does this in the future. Another opinion is that no, he's the first. May Allah bless him. He's the first guinea pig in this issue. Forgive me if you turn out to be in some glorious position in heaven, and I'm, you know, and I called you that, but I am, you know, the son of Fatwa Zahra, so I'm also in a good position. So, if we go with the narration that this guy, who was emotionally abusive to his missus, but he Allah's forgiven him, but Allah said, listen, I've forgiven you. Let's say we go with that narration, but there's a kafara to be paid. And he's told you got free a slave. He's like, Ya Rasulullah, Allah, if I free a slave, I've got no money left in the bank. If we paraphrase it today's language, if I free a slave, I've got no money left in the bank. The law here for us, if we ever said such a thing, and we were living at that time, I've got. I think I'm advertising all the topics I've got coming up in this show, but I've got a discussion coming up about the right-hand possession and slaves. What is, you know, milk al-yameen? We need to look at the verses about this right-hand possession thing, which Muslims were allowed to have this right hand separate from their wives. We're going to come to that. But in those days, they're slaves. You don't find it today. Sadly, there's different form of slavery today, but in those days, they're slaves. If you own a slave, you free them. So your mamluk, for example, would be freed. And if you didn't own a slave, what would you do? You'd have to buy a slave and then free it. This guy's like, Ya Rasulullah, what the hell have I done? He's like, listen, I don't have the money to buy a slave. I want to just go and touch her again, I beg you. And Tashino, your missus. When you're rude to her, it's okay. Now you have you want to go back to her. ذلكم توعظون به. Hey, maw'idha for you, but there's a lesson for you. Someone's daughter, you don't just talk to her in that way. You are to me like my mom, like the back of my mom. You don't talk to someone's daughter like that. You are a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa. Your akhlaq has to be the highest in nama bu'ithtu li'utammima makarim al akhlaq. We in this month read dua makarim al akhlaq. Our whole world in Islam is akhlaq. Don't think Islam is about how much a person prays, how much a person fasts. It's about the trust, truthfulness of their tongue and the trustworthiness with their amana and the way the mu'amala is done between them. That is a Muslim. Otherwise, salah and saum, I can show you millions who pray and millions who fast. But in the mu'amala, unfortunately, they leave a lot to be desired. So it said, ذَلِكُمْ تُعَظُونَ بِهِ. You are admonished in this way to conform. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Allah is well aware of what you do. So now, this person say, Ya Rasulullah, I can't do it. Next ayah. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ. I don't have a slave. Or I am living in London in the 21st century. There's no such thing as slaves. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصِيَامُ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَتَمَاسَا. He's like, Ya Rasulullah, you know, like I got eye problems. He literally said that because Muslims are the best at giving excuses when they don't want to pay something or they don't want to fulfill something. I got eye problems. Every Iraqi I found in my life has got a problem in their back. Subhanallah. And this particular surah discusses the dhahr. Everyone, wallah, the disc. Disc. I don't know what I'm no expert on discs. Machino disc. I had the disc. And then you see him running, playing football. Well, how do you have a disc? I am with faqara spinal cord. انا ظهري والله when I was younger I was the best swimmer every عراقي بس ما ادري I was the best football player بس انا ظهري يوجعني ما ادري my back hurts me عمود فقر. By the way, a faqir is known as a faqir because of this amud faqir. Because it's as if their spine is bent because of their poverty. But not the Iraqi guy. He's, when there's a wedding, he's dancing. Where's the disc? This guy goes, Ya Rasulallah, if I fast, then my eyes, I can't see. Now today we could use eardrops when we're fasting, yes? Eyedrops, sorry. Yes? And there's all these discussions about eyedrops. Those days, he said, listen, if I fast, Ubobas fast. Shahrayni mutatabi'ayn. 2 months in a row fasting. If you look at the guys in that camera crew at the back, if they fasted for 2 days in a row, each one of them would have to do Salat al-Bayt for them. Poor Ma'ash here on my right. If he fasted any longer, that person, even his shirt, will say, you know what? In the Sunni world, you'll see an opinion, Shahrain Mutatabi'ain, the opinion is what? You have to do 60 days in a row. Shia, no, alhamdulillah. Sunni, Shahrain Mutatabi'ain, 60 in a row. Shia, 30 in a row, yes, and then after that you break it up. This man come out with a classic. He's like, my eyes, I won't see. فمن لم يجد فصيام شهرين متتابعين من قبل أن يتماسى فمن لم يستطيع okay so يلا excuse number two I'll let you off now the first one you said your bank balance is going to be at zero the second one you're saying to us your eyes you won't be able to see فمن لم يستطيع فإطعام ستين مسكينا do you think he said straight away that yeah I could do it he's like ساعدني My brother's a classic. He's telling the Prophet of God, will you chip in? He tells the Prophet, would you chip in? The Prophet of Allah, listen, if I told my bro, listen, would you chip in? I tell my cousin, would you chip in? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi tells him, would you guys chip in? It's like when you go to a restaurant, you've got two types of characters. You have one guy who's like, Shabab, the bill's on me. Then you have the other one. Enter, did you order that Coke? Add 36p to his bill. Then distribute it, share it between seven of you. Ela and bil akhir, each one pays £3.46 and half an hour. This guy, what's he doing? He's like to Rasulullah, would you chip in? It'am 16 miskin is how much? Let's, I don't know, what is it today? Let's say each miskin. 3/4 of a kilogram. It's not even a big amount today. And you know, us guys will find loopholes where we'll call someone in Africa or some village in Iraq and we'll get away with it. But still, the idea is don't just even stipulate it at 60. Feed as many people as you can. Generosity is a gift. It's a sign of spirituality. But here it says, فَإِطْعَامُ وَسِتِّينَ مِسْكِينًا ذَلِكَ The aim of all of this is what? لِتُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Did I say he was a Muslim or not? Isn't he a Muslim? So why does it say so that you may believe in Allah and his prophet? Because it's one thing saying I believe. It's another following what they command. ذَلِكَ لِتُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ is trying to tell us what? That there are some of you, it's only lip service that you say أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ The way you treat your families is the opposite of Muhammad Rasulullah. The true ones of you, who follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, will always recognize khayrukum khayrukum li ahlih. The best of you is the best to his family. When the Quran here said, ذَلِكَ لِتُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Someone saying, Sayyidina, also already believed in Allah. Also already believed in the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I reply by saying belief and action are different. How many times does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Doesn't just focus on the iman. There are many who have iman. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. Say if you claim you love Allah, follow me. Allah will love you. Ultimately, at the end of Shahar Ramadan, I want to reach a level where I am one of those who Allah loves. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. Say if you claim to love Allah, follow me. Look at me. Look at how I am with my wives. I had wives amongst my wives. There were those who I told a secret to, and they went behind my back and divulged it to each other. There was amongst my wives those who wanted more booty and were unhappy that booty of war was not coming to them. Amongst my wives there was jealousy. Did you ever see me be rude to any of them? No. Your jihad, therefore, is what? Is that you maintain that level. Therefore, the Quran was saying, ذَلِكَ لِتُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. This is ordained. What's ordained? وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. That these are the what? These are the bounds which are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there are certain people in the world say, Sayyidina, why Muslims are so pedantic about law? For goodness sake, someone said that my missus is to me like the back of my mom. That's the way I say. Why there has to be a section called kafara? I go to Ayatollah Fulan. I have to see all the stipulation. Do you know, until today in the chapters of fiqh, there is a major section on dhihar and the kafara of dhihar. The reason is Islamic law has five aims. Any society, if there's no law, will be a society which will lose all its structure. Do you agree? If now, outside here, on the main road, we were allowed to drive without any speed limit, what would be happening over here? Be chaos. You agree? When the moment we see a speed camera, what do? Slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down. But even if you don't believe in religious law, do you admit every country requires a law? I heard there was a lady in Australia, in the outback of Australia, because there's no law over there. Someone got away with raping that lady and took them months to solve who raped that lady and killed her. Every society requires certain hudud, certain boundaries. And so even in marital life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to highlight that sometimes the smallest thing you say can be the most devastating. There are families that are ruined because of one line said one night in one fight. And that was it. The family was broken. It was never... Here the Quran was saying that the hudud that we set seek to aim to protect one's property. Laws protect property, number one. Number two, protect someone's intellect. Number three, protect someone's religion. Number four, protect someone's life. And finally, number five, they have been set to protect someone's honor. That law which is set here is a law that seeks to protect your honor, O Aws. Because that's your wife, the mother of your kids. If you're going to start insulting her, what's left in your family? And what's left for the community? Therefore, when we've set these laws, you may look at them and say, why kafara? Why kafara? Because it keeps us closer to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi and ensures that at the same time, we are victorious in this world and in the hereafter. Because otherwise, if I treat my wife, abuse my wife, physically or emotionally, what would happen to me? وَلِلْ كَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ Aleem. وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. الْكَافِر here is not just one who doesn't believe in Islam, disbeliever, the one who denies the teachings of Rasulullah or doesn't follow them or reaches a level where they don't reflect even anymore on what's being taught to them. For those people who go down that route, there is a punishment in this world and in the hereafter. But for those people who follow the route set by the wonderful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi and the way that he showed love, empathy, respect and the best of akhlaq to his partner, then those inshallah will be the ones who receive his intercession. Thank you all so much for listening. Join me tomorrow night. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.